Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
In the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in.
We're back. It's 12 after.
Then I'll watch them roll away.
A little Otis Redding for you there. Susan Annunzio is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's a new friend, Susan is. She's the author of Contagious Success, Spreading High Performance Throughout Your Organization. And Susan is the chairman and CEO of Hudson Highlands Center for High Performance. And she's the author of Evolutionary Leadership and the co-author of Communicoding. And she works with individuals and organizations all over the world to help them have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And as I said, she's our new friend. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. Glad to be here.
It's good to have you here. Now, you've done quite a bit of research in the last few years, studying organizations to find out what makes up an organization. What is it about an organization that makes them very successful and also very profitable, haven't you?
Absolutely. What we've done in our latest book, Contagious Success, is really look at what are the factors that drive profitable, sustainable growth in companies. And we found that it's really that they have three attributes in common. One is that they value people, and that is that they treat smart people like they're smart. They tell people what to do, not how to do it. They optimize thinking by living the values. The values are more than just plaques on the wall. And last but not least, they're able to seize opportunities by creating learning environments where people can take calculated risks, try new ideas, learn from failure, and consequently adapt to change.
You know, one of the things that I really like what you just said, and one of the things that I've been talking about, Susan, is what I call the century of the entrepreneur. I started calling the 21st century the century of the entrepreneur in the 20th century.
Right.
And an entrepreneurial employee, to me, is a very important element of the century of the entrepreneur. And an entrepreneurial employee is, to me, is what you, basically what you just described, the environment and the type of relationships that you have in an entrepreneurial environment. And that is where people are given the ability to make decisions, to take risks within their scope of their job. And if they make a mistake, if there is a failure, the people they work for don't fire them. They say, what did we learn?
Absolutely.
Is that what you're finding out there? If it is, I'm really excited because I like knowing that people are that this is something that's becoming pervasive in the marketplace.
Well, we found that this not only was pervasive in the marketplace, it was pervasive around the world. One of the interesting things about the study that we did is that we couldn't find any differences in terms of what types of environments, as you say, these entrepreneurial type environments, that drive success. It was the same in Australia, China, Europe, Manhattan. It didn't matter where in the world we looked, the type of environment that drove success. So much so that in the new book, Contagious Success, there were 8 chapters originally. There's now 7. The 8th chapter was on differences, and we couldn't find them.
Wow. Now, but now you've obviously found companies that fit this profile, but I'm sure you found companies that did not fit it.
Absolutely. We
and what were the markers of those companies?
One of the companies that we talked to that I think would be relevant to your audience especially is that it's a small investment banking company. It's only got 45 employees, and they compete with a big investment banking firm. And some of the people that started the firm, or I should say the founders of the firm, quit the New York big investment banking firm because they had cultures where you pretty much ate what you killed. You had to be me against my coworker. Well, the CEO of the company said to me, you had to make a deal with your family. You kind of said to your family, I'm not going to see you for the next 10 years. I'm going to miss birthday parties and holidays. But at the end of those 10 years, we're going to be filthy rich.
Right.
And he said, I don't want to make that deal with my family. I believe that there's got to be a different way. And they set out to build a culture like the one I just said, where you were saying, where it was entrepreneurial, where they were all in it together, that they were one team. They have 45 people, and they talk once a week on the telephone. They help one another out. The CEO...
They care about the families. They basically, they balance, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
They balance their life and their profession, And see what you just described, that's the marker of a small business.
Exactly. But the interesting thing about them is that they make more money, revenue per partner, than the big investment banking firm. They were able to have it all. And I think that that's really important. They have an environment where...
Well, it's because, and pardon me, Susan, it's because they were working with each other, not against each other.
Exactly. And they treated, as we said, or as you said earlier, there's an environment there on these phone calls where they talk about their problems, they talk about their challenges, they give each other advice, they share their thinking, and they help the... And one of the things the CEO said is that we're all in it together. We all make it or lose it if the firm does well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great mentality to have.
Well, how do we get that kind of mentality? What were some things that these founders or in this company or others, what is it that you saw that they did that was the germination, the seed of this type of an environment?
Well, I think it's what you said earlier. It's putting people in an environment where they can actually use their brains. If you think about whether it's a small business, in terms of your operating expenses, I would imagine at least 50% is your cost of human capital.
That's a pretty good average for most industries.
Exactly. So are you getting...
Sometimes higher.
Sometimes higher. If it's a knowledge-based industry,
right,
like financial services, it could be as much as 70%. And to me, if you want to look at whether or not you're getting the return on that human capital, it's how much of their people's brains are they actually using.
Well, look at how many times a company with inventory fusses and obsesses over how many turns they're getting out of their inventory investment every year, but they don't think anything about what kind of turns they're getting out of their human capital.
Exactly. And what we found is that in the environment where people could actually use their brains, we had people tell us story after story where they would say, yes, my group used to be high performing, and then they told us to cut our resources, cut our staff, cut our budget, and they raised our target, and it killed our performance.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put people in environments where they're dictated how to do work, or they're not given the tools to do their job, and they're not allowed to think. If do that, you kill performance.
Susan, we're going to go to a break in a second, sure. and I want to come back in a minute and get you to tell us some more about what you've learned and what you published in your book. But what you just described, the things that you said you can't do, that's 20th century, folks. Don't forget, you're not in Kansas anymore. This is the 20th century. I'm sorry, the 21st century, Toto. You're not in Kansas anymore. You have to make some adjustments. And the adjustments that Susan is talking about are the ones that you have to make. 20 after. Stay with us. We'll be right back. After, Mr. Robert Craig on Blues Guitar. I'm Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate, and I'm not nearly as good as Robert is on guitar. Susan Annunzio is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Susan Lucia Annunzio is the author of Contagious Success. And Susan, we need to get your website, please.
It's www.contagioussuccess.com.
Can we find out more about the book there? Can we read a chapter or so in there and see the table of contents and all that kind of stuff?
Absolutely.
Can we buy the book there?
You can buy the book. You can read a chapter of the book. And if they want, as I said, we had done a global study on what factors drive performance. And if anybody listening wants to see how their company, at least their perception of their company,
right,
measures up against our global standard, you can take a free test drive and
wow,
get yourself.
Thank
it won't
you for
be
that
accurate. I mean, it won't really tell you about your company because it's just one person's perception.
Right.
But at least it gives you a marker at which to begin looking at your company.
Exactly. It'll get you started on this path to higher achievement. And well, I appreciate you making that available. That's contagioussuccess.com, right?
Yes, it is.
So check that out. Now, do we have to give you our email address to take that test or anything?
No, you just have to go on the website.
So just be anonymous right there.
It's called the Contagious Success Quotient.
All right.
It's a little click there where you can take a free test drive.
I hope you'll do that, folks. Check that out. I'm going to do that myself. Susan, you're a lot younger than me, and so you probably have only studied about the Dominator model, but I actually lived through the days of the Dominator model of management in the 20th century,
mm-hmm,
and that's passé, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. It worked, though. I think what's important is the command and control age of the industrial age worked because competition was clear. We knew where we were going. We put people on assembly lines, and it was about making products. In today's world, products have become commoditized.
Right.
What we're looking for is innovation. Small businesses today are competing globally. That never happened before.
That's right.
Whether they want to be or not. Small businesses are in a global economy.
They may not be competing globally, but their competitors are global.
Exactly. And the small business today has an opportunity to beat the big guys.
That's right.
If you take H&R Block.
We can certainly play in the same field with them.
Absolutely. Think about H&R Block. It owned its marketplace. And then a small software company created a product called TurboTax.
Right.
They weren't even accountants. But it was a small group of people who saw where the market was going, and they then owned it. So small businesses today have more opportunity than ever before because innovation, and small businesses are known for innovation, and the innovation thrives in the environment that we were talking about earlier, environments that treat smart people like they're smart, live values, where they can have a learning environment.
You know, Susan, the SBA says that 55% of all innovations in the United States are created by small business.
Absolutely. It's because, as we saw in Contagious Success, it's those types of environments where innovation can thrive. The only way we're going to compete in today's economy is by new products, new services, and new markets. And the people listening to your show are those businesses that are ripe for creating, especially those new services and those new markets.
You say in your book that the work environment is more important to success than the leader. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, what we found in Contagious Success, what big companies are doing especially, is they're creating these competency models. You too can be a leader if you have these seven qualities. And what we found out, we were hoping to add to that literature that maybe there was a singular definition of leader. But what we found was that there were all different kinds of leaders. They had different personalities, different leadership styles. But what they had in common was that they created a similar environment, that environment where thinking could thrive. So, for example, I spoke to a man who also runs a small business. His name is Paul Spiegelman, and he runs a company called the Barrel Company, which is basically a call center for hospitals. And as you know, call centers have extremely high turnover.
Right.
Except not at Barrel Industries. Not only do they not have high turnover, they are considered one of the best companies in Texas to work for. And the reason is because he has created an environment in a call center where people are empowered to make decisions. He said to me on the telephone, he said, "My people have to make decisions all the time. We give them training, we give them scripts, but at the end of the day, you can't think of all the situations somebody's going to be in. And when we tell people, it's when they're not sure what to do, live the values. Look at the values of this organization, and whatever you think is consistent with those values, then you know you've done the right thing."
Even though you say that it's the environment, not the leader, you and I both know it takes an incredible amount of courageous leadership to actually create and allow that kind of an environment to function.
Absolutely. You have to have the confidence in yourself to let go.
Right.
And a lot of leaders aren't able to do that. For example, one of the things we found is, just as you said, the leaders that ran high-performing groups or high-performing companies were able to admit, these are the things that I do really well, and these are the things that I don't. And they were able to pass the ball. So, for example, I talked to a leader who ran a group. It's called
Susan, I apologize.
That's okay.
We've run out of time.
Will
you hold that thought and bring it back to us another day?
I certainly will.
I want you to come back another day and let's talk about this some more. What do you think?
I'd love to. Thank you very much, Susan Annunzio,
ladies and gentlemen. The book is called Contagious Success. Put a .com on the end of that and you'll find her website. Thank you, Susan, for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time. Quick break, right back with Don Lambro and Ray Keating. Stay back, stand by, we'll be right back.
I've been in love 10,000 times, all you gotta do is remember.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.